discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, being the pastor's kid comes with its own set of blessings and challenges. An unspoken code of behavioral excellence is often assumed. But what if your dad is beloved all around the world, a spiritual Michael Jordan to you growing up? Today we meet a man who wanted to become a veterinarian, but ended up an acclaimed gospel recording artist and author. The son of beloved pastor Tony Evans and the author of the just released Unexpected Places, Thoughts on God, Faith, and Finding Your Voice from Thomas Nelson. Mr. Anthony Evans joins us on the road. Welcome to the show, good sir. How is book release week treating you so far?
It's going great. Thanks for having me. I'm running around quite a bit, but I'm grateful to be doing so.
You're managing to keep all of the plates spinning above your head so far.
So far, yeah.
Well, congratulations, and thanks so much for working us in. The theme of the unexpected starts really right at the beginning of the story. You never actually dreamed, despite all of the success you've had in music, you never dreamed of becoming a singer professionally, right?
No. That wasn't until later in life. And actually, my dad would claim this one, because he and my mom discovered my ability, and then they kind of fostered it. It was a little bit later in life. I was 17, and they fostered it and made connections for me and kind of didn't push me in that direction, but steered me in that direction. And I was kind of like, what am I doing right now? But things started panning out due to them discovering the ability or the potential for more there.
Was singing kind of a part of your family life then? Like, would you guys just kind of break out into song from time to time? Is that how her discovery happened?
No, it was actually at church. I mean, music was a part of our family life, but I felt like everybody around me sang. I didn't know that there was something special per se with me. There'd be moments, I was in the youth choir at church, and there'd be moments in rehearsal where the director would point me out and be like, Anthony, sing this line, and be like, okay, everybody do that. And I just thought it was because I caught on to it. I just caught on quick to that. You know, I didn't think it was some special thing. Those are the little moments that started to happen, and it was at church, not necessarily at home.
Awesome. I love that. But you did love animals, right? You legitimately wanted to be a veterinarian in those young years.
Yeah, that was my catharsis. That was my home away from home, was going to the barn and working with horses. And so I thought my dream was to to work in that capacity. Whether initially it was just at a camp, that made a big, huge difference in my life growing up. I wanted to work there full time. And then later I was like, I can go into medicine and be a large animal vet. And that's the direction I wanted to go.
That's awesome. The theme of the unexpected, of course, continues throughout the book, which is very well titled. An interesting sort of sidebar to that. A lot of times somebody who becomes a recording artist, you think of them as being somebody who loves the spotlight, but being the center of attention and performing really doesn't read like it was your natural state. Is that fair to say?
No, it wasn't at all. I'd watched that. I had seen that all growing up with my dad and my mom and what they were doing, but that wasn't necessarily my thing. I loved our time just as a family without spotlights and without people and without attention. That's where I used to thrive, on those moments, not on high levels of attention being pointed my direction.
That makes sense. That really comes through in the book too. Well, so much has been said, so much has been written about the pressures of being the preacher's kid. And your story takes that up a notch, in that not only is your dad the preacher, he's a minister known and much loved all across the world. You've described your view of him as a young man as basically being a spiritual Michael Jordan, right? That's what it was.
He's a spiritual Michael Jordan, or a spiritual, that's the best example I can think of, because Michael Jordan could do things on the court that most people couldn't. And I believe that's the kind of communicator my dad is. He's a very unique communicator. And I felt sometimes an unspoken expectation for me to be able to do what he could do, because his DNA was running through my veins. You know, so people are like, can he dunk from the free throw line like your dad? And I'm like, no, like you'd be lucky to get a layup out of me. You know, that's kind of how I felt, even though the perception is that's, you know, children of anybody who is quote unquote successful at something, they mm-hmm. kind of look at the kids like, oh, they're next. And that's not always the case. Or it might be the case, but they just have to find their own identity in doing that.
There's this extremely sort of evocative moment that you really open up the book with, where you're watching your dad speak at Promise Keepers, and I believe you're 12 at the time, right?
Yes.
And you just come away with this whole experience of the soaring, just incredible spirit-filled message that he gives. And basically, you are thinking to yourself in that moment, I could never, ever do that. Can you take us back there?
Yeah. I mean, Promise Keepers, I was growing up in the years where Promise Keepers had become a huge movement. So my dad, rightfully so, would take us on trips with him, and we'd all have our like little special trips. And I remember, you know, Texas Stadium, 70,000 or roughly that amount of men are in a stadium, and my dad speaking, and he was over time became like one of the keynotes, like, oh, here comes Tony Evans, that kind of moment. And you know, the audience erupted, and I just thought, man, I can't be him. Like that's a lot of pressure to have 70,000 people like right there with you. So that's just how I felt. I was a highly emotional and sensitive kid that kept his feelings on the inside quite a bit. I just kind of kept them in. So I would hold on to that of, man, people are expecting me to be this and I can never be that. And I would never say it. I would keep it inside. And that ultimately kind of down the line made me very, very kind of emotionally and spiritually sick for trying to live up to expectations around me. I'm very grateful that my parents were the same off stage as they were on, because if there was any dichotomy with that, I would have lost it. I would have been like, this is too much. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Incredible. I want to explore that in just a moment. Just to let you know, if you're tuning in, this is the voice of Anthony Evans. You have very likely heard this voice before. He's an acclaimed gospel recording artist, a worship leader, the son of beloved pastor Tony Evans, the author of the just released Unexpected Places, Thoughts on God, Faith, and Finding Your Voice from Thomas Nelson. I think this is so relatable to us because so much of these messages that you're dealing with at this point are unspoken messages. Like you explained it as, nobody was saying you had to be like your dad. Nobody said that out loud. That was never uttered, but that's just how you felt.
Right. It is. It was very, very interesting. You know, some people would actually say it, but nobody in my immediate circle was saying that. But people would just be saying it as they kind of, you know, just church members, just talking, not really thinking about the
oh,
weight
sure.
of their words.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a big pressure I had to overcome, and I discussed that, how I did that quite a bit in Unexpected Places.
Oh, it's fascinating. And, you know, you referenced it just momentarily, but it eventually, these thoughts bring you to a pretty dark place. And at that point, people didn't necessarily realize that you were in that place, right? But so you're trying to hide it, and these are unspoken messages, but you start to deal with depression and doubt. What did that look like for you, sir?
For me, it literally got to a point where I couldn't get myself to come out of that pit. Like I was really good at smiling, shaking hands, kissing babies, making everybody think everything was okay.
Yeah.
But there'd be moments where I couldn't get myself out from underneath that pressure. And that's when I realized that there's a problem on many different levels. One, I'm keeping things inside, and I don't care on what level you're trying to deal with it on, whether it's a friendship, you know, or on the level with God, like dealing with an issue with God. If I were to go to a doctor's office and not tell him what's wrong, then I won't be able to see what he can do because I'm not telling him the truth about what is going on in my life. And I view it the same way, with God. I feel like our objective is to be as honest as we can with him and not try to get ourselves together before we come to him. Be honest, as honest as we can with where we are. And when we do what we can, God will do what we can't. And that's the lesson I had to get to. But I really hit a rock bottom moment in my life when I was doing all this pretending, going through a broken engagement at the same time. This is obviously later. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't make everybody think everything's okay anymore. This is too much work. And I did what I could and was honest with people around me. And that's when I started to experience the healing of God in my life. I have a friend of mine. She's an elite gymnast. And I asked her once, I said, why are you not fearful of trying new skills? And she simply said, it's because I have a soft place to land. And I thought, wow, like in my life, I was never cognizant of the fact that I needed a soft place to land and that I wouldn't be afraid to try to get on my feet. And I found that soft place to land through great friendships, through being honest with my family, being honest, finding a great church family, and by finding a great counselor. That was my soft place to land until I could get back on my feet.
Huh. That is so awesome. The multi-pronged approach that God used to reach you and that you said yes to that. Before we go forward, I think this part of your story is so relatable to so many of us because this is a parallel track that you're living on, right? I mean, at the same time, you're dealing with this depression and this dark valley. You're also out there leading worship, like you say, sharing your music. And you talk about that phrase, putting on a show where no one really knows the real you. I mean, that sounds so exhausting. And on the other hand, it sounds like something so many of us are trying to do today. Have you found that to be the case?
Yeah, I found that to be the case. I got to a point where I had to, I was on stage broken, singing about the faithfulness of God. And I was like, this doesn't work for me. Like, this doesn't work to have brokenness that's unaddressed. And I'm on stage singing at this level and at this frequency about how faithful God is in my life. I felt like an imposter and it didn't feel real to me, so much so that right after I went through the broken engagement, which I talk about in the book, I did an event. I literally stood on the stage and said, I don't feel like doing this. I could not bring myself to sing these songs. And wow. I that was probably a lot, you know, that my road manager, remember him looking at me from the back of the room, like, serious? And I told the audience what was going on and I worshiped in spite of the way that I felt, not because I'm noble, but because I was there and had a mic in my hand. Wow. And when I made the decision to worship in spite of the way that I felt, like I felt left, lost and abandoned. And when I made the decision to worship in spite of the way that I felt, God met me in the deep. That is still to this day, the most memorable concert I've ever had. Worship experience I've ever had, because I did what I could and God did what I couldn't. There wasn't a dry eye in the room, and it wasn't because of my scenario necessarily. It was because people could see in their own lives. They could be like, I can worship in spite of the way that I feel, and I don't have to keep everything that I'm going through pushed down to maintain this suit and tie perfect image that I've been working so hard to maintain here at this church.
Well, I think another thing that's significant too is that is a moment in time you look back on and say, that was so significant. And yet, reading the book, I mean, you don't go from that moment to instantaneously feeling perfect and completely healed of what you're dealing with, right? I mean, there's still a road ahead, a road of healing. It wasn't just a moment.
It was a road. There was not, it wasn't, for some people, I know that they can be like, this moment happened and I was good from that point on. But no, it's been a constant road. I feel like almost like this is how the Lord keeps me close to him. It wasn't a miraculous moment. It was I have to stay close to you. I have to engage in constant checkups to make sure that I'm doing things correctly.
That's powerful. Powerful stuff. We're talking to Mr. Anthony Evans today on the road. He's an acclaimed gospel recording artist, the worship leader, the son of beloved pastor Tony Evans, and the author of the just released Unexpected Places, Thoughts on God, Faith, and Finding Your Voice from Thomas Nelson. And we say just released. The book released just this week. And Anthony says, all the plates are still spinning above his head, which is very impressive, sir. We hope that keeps up.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You describe yourself now as a man who is in love with life, your heritage, and your individual calling. And I mean, just how rewarding is that place after the journey that you've walked? Is that something that may be tough to put into words?
It's a great place to be okay with you, knowing that there's progress that needs to be made, but to not be in your own skin and be irritated at yourself, you know what I mean? Because you're not who you expect yourself to be and all that. It's to let those expectations go and really trust that God's going to do what he says in spite of the way that you feel. It's a great place to be. And I feel like, honestly, it's the only place to be because otherwise you're not going to be able to operate at capacity, at your true capacity, if you're overloaded.
Yeah, that's really wise. Yeah, it sounds simple, but I think there's some really profound truth in that. Well, one of the fun parts of your story comes about when you become a contestant and then later a staple of NBC's The Voice. So how does The Voice come into your life? Where does this come from for you?
The Voice was a very unique opportunity and experience that I had. I didn't know much about the show because it was way back before it even came on. And I got a phone call from a producer to come out and meet them and sing for them. And I did, and they invited me to the show. And I was like, well, I can't come immediately to LA and do 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever it was at that point. And I didn't know about the show, and they didn't know that I had a career already. So I, you know, telling them I couldn't come was so hilarious because it was funny to me, not to them, because they didn't understand that I had a career. They thought I was just singing in church and couldn't cancel. They were like, why can't you just have somebody else sing in church for you? I don't get it. They didn't understand the magnitude of what I was doing, which is fine. But I had to say no to that season and thought that was over. And then the second season actually opened up and they invited me back to come go through the same process. So that was a moment where I chose courage over comfort and faith over fear. And I can't even begin to tell you past the show. I got eliminated in the battle rounds, and they created a new rule around what happened with me on the show, which was cool to hear after I left. But the opportunities, one, to take my faith outside of the four walls of the church. My dad always says, Anthony, you're not salt of the shaker, you're salt of the earth. And I almost felt guilty leaving church initially, not leaving church, but doing something outside of church. But to have that opportunity and what it's led to, as relationally what it's led to, spiritually what it's led to, and opportunity-wise what it has led to, me taking that one chance 6 years ago has been dumbfounding to me what I've been able to experience because of that show.
That's a great description of it. Well, let's dig in a little bit to some of the big themes of the book. You have had so many different experiences, and the lessons, the life lessons that you talk about in here are just really, really valuable stuff. And when it comes to value itself, you talk about the differences between what the world teaches us to value. And you've had some, when you talk about The Voice, you've had some very, very public success there. But then the differences between what the world values and how God values us. Can you dig into that?
Absolutely. I mean, there was a point in my career when I was talking about earlier, me really struggling. I had to go through a point where I had to redefine what success was and is. Our culture says success is achieving more, acquiring more, and then that's kind of period. Like, how much do you have? Period. I had to redefine success because there was a period in my life, there was a time in my life where I was working so hard, saying yes to everything. I was everywhere. And I was still imploding on the inside, like the things I mentioned earlier. And at the end of it all, I was like, wow, at the end of all this quote-unquote success of working this hard, I can't go write a check for peace. So I have to redefine what success is, because I need to be able to use peace as my compass for success, not accomplishments and acquiring things, because those things, at the end of acquiring them, you can't go purchase peace.
Wow.
So for me, that was what... When I transformed my thinking into that, am I doing what I'm called to do? Am I going after opportunities that are related to my calling? And am I using peace as my compass? That when I define success that way, my whole life changed.
That is one of the best lines I've heard in a long time. Could you say that one more time? You can't go and write a check for peace?
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
You
have to redefine what success is to you. Because you cannot go achieve everything and then write a check for peace.
Wow. That is amazing. Thank you for that. You know, your decision as well to talk so openly about the anxiety, you know, and about the depression. These are subjects that we see it again and again. So many people are dealing with today. And yet there's a stigma still about talking about these things. Why did you want to be so upfront and honest about them?
I've had people along my journey in life who have decided to be honest, vulnerable, and transparent with me, not knowing that I was going through the same thing they were going through, and they didn't realize that what they said to me in that moment, taking a risk to be honest, breathed life into me and gave me hope for myself. So my objective in being forthright is so that maybe people who are struggling with the same thing are putting on masks and trying to pretend and act like everything's okay, that they'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm going to actually try a different route now, because one, this isn't working, and two, he did it and it was okay. He was okay. So I felt like it was my responsibility to do that.
You know, we're talking with Anthony Evans here, an acclaimed gospel recording artist, a worship leader, and the son of beloved pastor Tony Evans. His book is called Unexpected Places, Thoughts on God, Faith, and Finding Your Voice from Thomas Nelson. And in just a few moments, going to ask how we can learn more about this good man, how we can grab a copy of the book. Obviously, your family means so much to so many people, and you talk a lot about so many things that your parents did right in raising you. So feel free to speak to that. And then also, you do go into a little bit about how they somewhat unknowingly missed your elusive pain, and you talked about how quiet you were about that. If you could dig into sort of both of those topics, I know they're big ones.
What my parents did right was there was no dichotomy between who they were on the stage and who they were at home. That's the bottom line. They made sure that family was a priority. They made sure that we sat around the table growing up. And that's when you're a little kid, that's annoying. You have to come sit at the table, put everything away, stop playing your game, sit down, and let's have a dinner and let's talk about the day. And but over time, when you grow up, you realize how valuable that moment was to establish this is our family. That unit is our family. And because of that, we are now super close. That's one thing my parents did that is really, really amazing. Now, I mentioned earlier some of my pain eluding them because they didn't know about it. And that was because I was the third child, peacemaker, want everybody to be okay thing. And I would have random moments where I would kind of turn into a lash out version of myself. Mm. And they would be like, why is he acting like that? And they would dig in then. But other than that, I would be holding everything down and just not saying a word about anything. So they missed it, but not because they weren't able to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're going to miss what you can't see. And that as a child, that was hard for me to verbalize and hard for me to, I can't blame them. And then I couldn't verbalize. It was a lot to deal with.
Man. Well, it's an incredible story and just an incredible way that God is using Mr. Anthony Evans these days. Just what a story. I mean, it's worth digging into. The book is called Unexpected Places, Thoughts on God, Faith, and Finding Your Voice. And Anthony, if people are just captivated by your story, they want to learn more about you and want to grab a copy of the book, where's the best place to start that journey, sir?
They can follow me on any social media platform at Anthony Evans Jr., but as is related to the book, they can go anywhere books are sold and pick one up there and hear more about how God works in very unexpected ways in unexpected places.
I totally understand why you had trouble with that phrase, too. In my head, I was just trying to say it myself. As it's related to the book, that is kind of a tongue twister. So well done.
Yeah. It is.
Well, it was so great to meet you, sir, and so great to explore your story. I just wonder, you know, maybe just in closing, just about 90 seconds left. I mean, if somebody is in a similar place to where you were, they're in that place where maybe they're just battling against expectations and suffering from some of the same thoughts of depression that you were, could you just offer them some hope today that there is light at the end of that tunnel?
Yeah, I would want to tell them what worked for me was that sometimes what is seemingly insignificant to us as related to obedience is the key to unlocking our journey toward the destination we're asking God to take us to. I realized this on a plane when I wouldn't buckle my seatbelt and put my computer away because I was trying to finish a thought before I forgot it, which happens a lot in my life. And the flight attendant came to me after I wasn't putting on my seatbelt and said, "You have asked us to take you to a destination. I know that putting on your seatbelt to you doesn't make much sense because it's not connected to the engine. But as soon as you put that seatbelt on, we can take you to the destination you've asked us to take you to in the first place. And
wow.
Not only you, but everybody with you on this plane will be able to go to the destination too because you did what we need to have you do before we can take off. I believe that in our journeys, God is asking us a lot of times to do things that are seemingly insignificant. When we do that, not only will we be on our way to the destination we've asked him to take us to, but everybody with us will also be on their way to that destination also.
Man, what a fantastic word to end on from Anthony Evans. One more time, the name of the book, Unexpected Places, Thoughts on God, Faith, and Finding Your Voice. What an absolute pleasure to meet you verbally, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.